and welcome to our 93rd episode of the Gutenberg Changelog podcast. In today's episode, we will talk about Gutenberg 17.1, the command palette, data views, grid layouts, a lot of good things. I'm your host, Birgit Pauli-Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times and a full-time core contributor for the WordPress open source project sponsored by Automatics 5 for the Future program. Wow, that's a mouthful. I'm so happy to have Isabel Bryson with me. She's a JavaScript developer at Automatic, working on Gutenberg as a core contributor, editor lead, co-lead for 6.3, WordPress 6.3 release in August. And also she mentored the cohort editor tech and triage for 6.4, which just came out beginning of November. So greetings to Sydney, Australia. How are you today, Isabel?
Hi, hello. Very good. Just getting towards the evening end of the day here. And yeah, doing pretty well. Thanks.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, I just got up, just so everybody knows, we are around the globe operation here. And it's now 9:30 on November 24th in Europe. And Isabel, it's about 7 o'clock at your place?
Yeah, it's 7:30 here.
7:30 here, yeah. So let's get started. We have a lot of things to talk about. But yes. First, we have, before we go into the changelog of the latest Gutenberg plugin, let's talk about other things that happen in the community. The first one is Justin Tadlock published a tutorial on how to create your own commands with the command API. It's an introductory tutorial, and it kind of shows you how to create. If you want to open up the experiments page, you can do this with a plugin. And so you put all the commands in one plugin, and then you activate it. And then you have command for opening the experiments page. Or it also has toggle the panel command or toggle the user preference commands. And the last one is also toggle the panel command, but it has some additional sidebar notices in there. Not sidebar, snackbar. Snackbar are the ones that are on the bottom of screen. So you know, okay, something happened. Yeah. Sometimes with a command palette, sometimes you don't get a notification back. Something happened. So adding those snackbar notices is also in the tutorial. So this is a great way to get started. And there is an advanced article kind of to come as well to use command loaders to have additional or a little bit more, how would I say, functionality with it without just opening up and down certain features.
Yeah, this is pretty cool because I guess you can open any page, you can open settings, you can toggle settings mm-hmm. from it. Mm-hmm. And say you're a plugin, you could potentially add a command to the palette where you can direct people to your plugin page.
Yeah, for our own plugin, of course, yeah. You can add that to as an additional feature to your plugin to provide also commands for the command palette. I think that's really cool. I'm waiting for the point, but I'm always waiting. So I'm waiting to the point where I can daisy chain those commands. So certain workflows can happen on key press, yeah, or with a shortcut, yeah. So I can say, okay, now give me a separator block and use that particular variation, and it would save me three clicks on the mouse on a weekend edition that has, I don't know, 15 sidebars in there. So mm-hmm. that would be quite a saving.
But yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, workflows, so that would be pretty cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's. I think that's part of the idea to kind of for the command palette later on, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe that's plugin territory. We'll see what comes out of it.
I was just thinking and just sort of wildly speculating here, but with all the talk about AI that's been happening in the past mm-hmm. 12 months or so, you can kind of imagine that would be a flow where you could just in the future, you would be able to just open it up and go, oh, give me this, that and that. And your sort of AI assistant would pull it up, like a bunch of, like, translate what you said into blocks.
Yeah, yeah. You could certainly use that search box on the command palette also to create AI commands. And then mm-hmm. what comes back in the lower section of the command palette would be some some cool stuff, yeah, some pictures that you were looking for, or some, oh yeah, some summaries or text or translations,
Yeah.
yeah, let's wildly speculate on the command palette from I love it. So Johan Asmussen, who's a part of the design WordPress design team, has published his design shares. That is just showcasing the things that the team is working on in the or has been working on in the last 2 weeks. If you want to follow the design make blog, you will get notifications every 2 weeks and to see what's going on, because the design team not only makes things pretty, it also thinks through some of the workflow and some of the how should this work and how does the interface kind of work with that. And so you get a glimpse into the future for certain things. And he starts out with the sticky table elements. That's for the data views or the admin list views. That's kind of how the header column and pagination, and also that the data inside each cell is always integrated and the pagination is locked in the same position. So then also to new and URL popover, tightening up the user interface. They're working also on the open source audio component for the Creative Commons site, which looks really nice. I really like that. Yeah. And then some great iterations over a drop-down menu that is a new component, and you can kind of follow along that and you see what kind of details the team is working on for any of those interface components that not only power Gutenberg or the blog editor, but also are used by plugin editors, plugin developers for their own interfaces if they want, if they choose so. So this is definitely a great insight into how much work and thought goes into some of the interfaces.
Oh, definitely. And drop downs is such a hard area. It's so hard to get right. And I mean, speaking from experience developing in Gutenberg for years, and there have been so many problems with the popover component positioning, and there are so many bugs that we've had to fix. So I'm really sort of looking forward to the next iteration of drop downs, and especially with these flyovers. I mean, a way of making things, of making the drop downs when they're nested easier to navigate, I think that's really important.
And it's not only for menus, it's for all kind of interfaces that come in and out of the sidebars and from the top bar and all that. So yeah, that's definitely some great work that we can see there. They also worked on a range date picker that's more for plugins. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, it's yeah, you wanna it's the range picker is something that you get when you book a flight or a hotel, where you kind of say, okay, I'm go from November 11 to December 13, and you have the range to pick. It's an initial sketch, and yeah, it's definitely something plugin or can. I don't know. I'm really having a hard time figuring where in Gutenberg that might be helpful.
Yeah, I was trying to think, where do we deal with dates? And it's, I mean, post-publishing doesn't usually need a range. So I'm wondering if there's, oh no, actually, so possibly, because I think maybe that will have some place in the data views work. And again, I'm wildly speculating here, but I imagine with, because there's a fair work amount of thinking being done around how to actually make the data views be good to organize data and to organize content. And so potentially you'd think you might be able at some point to pick, say, a range of, posts from this date to that date or something like that. And
Would
then
make
having a
sense, yeah.
range picker could be useful.
Yeah, it could be useful for bulk edits, for instance, yeah, or you're just for viewing, yeah. Say, okay, all the posts between around Thanksgiving, give them a Thanksgiving kind of tag or something like that as a yeah, bulk things, yeah. But yeah, you're right, yeah, that could be for the admin, some of the admin components, yeah, or yeah, and then the styles panel. Well, yeah, there's an interesting iteration of the science panel work where you can have it all on the left-hand side of the site editor. And right now, the style work is all on the right-hand side of the editor, but now you have kind of a middle column between the content and the
Okay.
menu where you can edit or, yeah, change the colors and the fonts and these kind of things. So that's kind of a nice iteration. We'll see how far that gets into the editor.
I see that this styles panel, this is referring to what in my head I still call global styles.
Yeah, and
Okay.
it's also kind of a combination between the global styles as you know it and the style book, and then have the sidebar on the left-hand side, so it has a more connection between which entity you are actually editing.
Because right now on the left-hand side sidebar, we have in the site editor, we have a style section that allows you, if the theme has style variations, to pick a theme style variation. So that's kind of, it's weird that we have the styles on that side and then we have the global styles on the other side.
Yeah,
So
right.
yeah, potentially would be nice to have everything in one place.
Yeah, and especially about the style variations. Yeah, once you have your theme kind of selected and you select the style variations, then it's too prominent in the menu because you don't need it anymore. Yeah, it's kind of can kind of be hidden for something, yeah, until you need it again. And I think that's also part of the rethinking how the left menu items kind of work in terms of order of importance or context sensitive. I don't know. Yeah, but it's kind of that, these are kind of some of the thinking behind that. And it kind of comes through some of the GitHub issues. We say, yeah, shouldn't we be smarter, or shouldn't the system be smarter to kind of hide that when you don't need it anymore? But you know that mind reading business is just such a hard
Oh yeah.
such
Trying
a
mind
hard chore.
reading, very hard, very hard, even with AI.
Yeah. And then we are still in the style design shares by Johan, and he also has a link for the events redesign. There's under the community section where the meetups and the WordCamps are there. Will be a, they're working on an events page or events section that is a little bit more modern than that what we have right now, and it's a nice iteration, and it's really coming together. So yeah, the community team is very working very hard with the design team to get this done. And then there is a mock-up. We find a mock-up for something that was actually missing in the site editor, that these are the settings for around the home page that are in the general settings, but actually totally removed from all the home page templates kind of thing. So and page edits. So this is going to might be it's a quick mock-up to bring those settings in also into the site editor. Yeah. So those were design shares, and I always like to go in there and look at it, even for, well, and this was the first again that we did it on the podcast, because of course it's visual, and on the podcast you don't see anything. We can't show it to you. So, but I really urge you to, of course, share the link in the show notes, but take a look at that. It's really very interesting for me and exciting. And when you kind of follow every 2 weeks, you kind of on get an idea where things are going and what people are working on. And then the last thing I wanted to point out for you, dear listeners, is that the plugin directory, about 6 weeks ago, there was this little kerfuffle that there was a preview button, a live preview button enabled on the plugin directory, but it wouldn't work for all plugins. And it what it does, it kind of opens up the WordPress playground, installs the plugin so a user can actually test out the plugin in a live environment without having to set up a test site or put it on their production site or any of that. So it's a really cool feature in my view. And Alex Shields, who's a longtime member of the Meta team, enabled it. And it was actually a smart move because within a day or so, he had all the feedback he needed to take it down again and revamp it, and then come out with it in a way that the plugin developers can work with it. And on the Meta blog, he just published that the preview button is now available for plugin developers, for the plugin maintainers to create a blueprint file on what is all needed on a on for the test site for the playground to be a good test site for that plugin. And they can test it out. They can kind of configure the playground with a blueprint file. And then once it's if it fits their needs, they can opt in for themselves. And then later on, that's not yet implemented, they can open it up to their users. Yeah. So there's a double opt-in for that feature, but it all had all the so it's all in the control of the plugin developer. But if you are a maintainer of the plugin developer, any feedback you have about this, leave it on the post. They're very grateful for it to make this better and better and better.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a feature where you really need plugin developers to test it and make sure that it works for their use case, because there are so many different types of plugins. And I think from memory, one of the problems that was flagged initially was that some plugins have dependencies, so they don't do anything in isolation, and having a preview just like it doesn't work unless you can configure the proper environment to have that preview in. And so I think that's one of the features that have now been added, is that each plugin developer can configure the optimal environment for their plugin to run in, which
Exactly,
makes
yeah.
perfect sense.
Yeah, it has a few. So the blueprint.json, it's a JSON file that you can have the steps that the playground needs to make to be a good demo site. Yeah, be it a plugin install, be it a open up in the admin in the block editor, for instance, if it's a block or a block editor feature, to see it right away and not have to go through, okay, this is the admin, this is the login, this is the, yeah, kind of you get right to the point of it. It's really neatly done. So yeah, check it out. As a plugin developer, again, it's not yet open to the public. All right, this brings us to the section what's released. And right now we're talking about Gutenberg 17.1. Andre Monero was a release lead, and it has PRs from 55 contributors, three of them new, yay. And they submitted about 200 PRs that are merged in this version. Andre writes, "The release includes several new enhancements, loads of bug fixes, and continued work on phase three." The release post is, of course, in the show notes, and let's just dive in. And yeah, let it say in the foreground, though, it's more quality of life and bug fixes than anything else, apart from the data views. But we can talk about it a little bit later about that. So the first item I have kind of highlighted is that the template parts now have a fallback to the current theme when it's not provided. So that is kind of just make it all a little bit more predictable and not running into errors or confusion for the user. So if the if a template part if a header isn't, what is that exactly? So go ahead.
The template part, if there is a template part referred that doesn't actually exist, then it will fall back to a default template. I didn't actually
Yeah, that
review
comes
this
from
pull
the
request,
theme.
so
Yeah, so
I'm not sure how the internals work.
yeah. No, it's a kind of the fallback is directly to the theme part that comes closest, pretty much. It's a performance enhancement to make sure that searching for something that's not there doesn't slow things down. And now the next one that I wanted to point out was that the site editor now also shows theme patterns from the directory. Showing things from the directory wasn't built into the site editor yet. It was in the post editor, so any post and pages you were able to add things, point out to the. So the theme has in the theme JSON can point to patterns that are in the directory, and they would show up in the pattern section of the post editor, but they don't wouldn't in the site editor, and that's now fixed. Does that make
Yeah,
sense? Yeah.
that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
So for the theme, it means the theme developer doesn't have to bundle all the patterns with a theme if they put it up on the directory and then just can refer it to it with the slug. And that's a nice way to do it.
Yeah, that's also, I mean, that can also be considered, well, maybe not a performance enhancement in itself, but it does sort of make things easier if you want to create a performant theme so you don't have like a dozen or, I don't know, 100 patterns bundled into the actual theme.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But of course, they all need to follow the same mechanic. So if you have more than one theme, yeah, and you want to refer the same patterns in the directory, it kind of also streamlines your processes a bit. So there are a few things that are coming for the Global Styles revisions. So revisions are something that were supposed to come into 6.4, but they didn't make it. Because it was such a huge project that the 2 months of development time wasn't enough. But it's definitely slated for 6.5. And now there is improvements with every Gutenberg plugin release. This time you have a consistent back button behavior and the scripted text timeline for the revisions. And also it loads unsaved revision items in the revisions preview, even if you haven't clicked on save. So that definitely helps you not losing content or changes. Those Global Styles revisions are so useful, and I'm looking forward to seeing them in WordPress.
There is a version of revisions. There's sort of a very basic global styles revisions already available in 6.4, which you can from global styles or styles. I always call it global styles because styles is
Yeah.
just so vague.
Yeah,
Styles revisions, there's a little section in here. And you can look at the revision history.
so it wasn't 6.4, but not fully fledged out. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
there is, so it's ongoing. So there's a very basic version that's been merged into 6.4. There is a lot more sort of optimization, UI improvements, making the whole experience smoother that is still being worked on and due for 6.5.
Yeah, I think the revisions on posts are so old. Yeah, they don't know anything about blocks. Yeah, so it's really hard to make a good informed decision on how that's actually going to look visually when you have to show styles. So kind of going from one place to the next and see how that fits in and does it work. I think it's a longer iteration process than one would seem, yeah. And that, yeah, it definitely
Yeah,
will.
totally. Because for the post edit, so if you're revising your content, if you're looking at the revisions for posts, you still get that. Basically, it's the classic WordPress admin interface where you see a diff of the content, but it appears in markup form, and that gives you no clue. I mean, especially if you have a lot of blocks on the page and you've changed some attributes and you've changed some blocks, and you just have to go and read through all that markup, and there's no way of seeing the difference visually, which is kind of important when there's a very visual oriented tool, which is the block editor. So yeah, that will be great. That's still to come, being actively worked on.
So and then the block editor, there's the button block, got a simple thing we would think, but it's because of our muscle memory. So now you have, if you use double enter, you skip to the default block and it doesn't repeat the design of the other block. Is that what I'm hearing? What I'm reading there?
There's a
Yeah.
keyboard shortcut for the button block. Yeah, so buttons are interesting because a while ago it was decided that if you change a style on a button, say if you change button to another style variation, you will probably want the next button to have the same style, and you might not. So the double enter thing, I'm not quite sure how it works, because when you click enter from one button, you go into the next button usually. Right. So
Yeah, and
double
if you do
enter.
double enter, you skip it. It skips the styles and goes to a default block way.
But to a default button block, is that
Yeah, I
what it
think.
does? Sorry.
Yeah, I. Yeah.
I'm just not very
So double enter at
keen
the
to
end of a
figure out
button
what
block
it does.
moves back to the next line, so you continue typing. Double enter in the middle of
Oh,
button
it takes
blocks.
you out of the button block. Oh, that's brilliant. Yes, I see. Cool. So it has nothing to do with the button styles. It's all about
It's all
making it
about the block,
easier
yeah.
to add another block that's not a button after the button block. Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, I'm
So
all for keyboard improvements all the time.
default block, not default button. I read it wrong. Yeah, I'm kind of, yeah. Okay, that's a really good behavior. And I knew it was something that I was actually expecting to be, because we know it from the list view, we know it from the list block, we also know it from other blocks, that when you do double enter, you're out of that whole inner block behavior, like the social blocks, and then you go out, and I just read it wrong all of a sudden.
Oh, that is such a great improvement.
Yeah. And it's like some of the things where I say, why wasn't it before? But it's kind
Yeah. Well,
of
it's an iterative process.
yeah.
Yeah. True. There are all these, and sometimes it's just tiny things make the experience so much better, but they're not always obvious. And sometimes they're actually not very easy to implement. In this
Yeah.
case, I don't know. I didn't actually look at the pull request
Right.
for
Yeah.
this, but
And
it's.
yeah, and a similar thing is actually the next one for the design tools, where we get block gap support for the quote block. And so now it has kind of a good layout support, and you can
Yeah.
better control the spacing of the inner blocks.
Well, that one was actually easy to implement.
Yeah.
I know,
Was
because I did
it
it myself. No,
you?
so someone else did. So another contributor submitted a pull request to add layout support to the quote block. This was Tomoki Shimomura. I hope I'm saying the name correctly. And so that added basic layout support to the quote block, and that means that quote will automatically use the default block spacing. And that is good because it brings it in line with whatever the default theme block spacing is. So it'll have the same kind of spacing that other blocks have between them by default. But then I and a few other contributors review that pull request, and we started talking. Well, you know, what would be great would be to actually give explicit block spacing support to the block, because now that it
Oh,
is using the default block spacing, it would make sense that if people want to change it, they have the control available. So that was just sort of a little follow-up, and it was literally one liner, just adding support for block spacing,
Oh,
which
and this is
made
in block
sense.
blocks JSON, yeah.
So now you can change. So now by default, it will have whatever the default theme spacing, block spacing is. And if you want, you can go into your quote block and you can change the spacing to make it bigger or smaller as you desire.
And now we get also a, so for the list view, we now have a keyboard shortcut to select all blocks. It kind of follows the
Yes.
common keyboard shortcut for select all. So it's either Command A or Control A, Command A for Mac and Control A for Windows, to select all the blocks that are in the list view. And that's really good.
Yes.
Yeah,
Ah,
especially when you
awesome.
just hit delete and then gone.
Love a good keyboard shortcut. Command A, delete. Yes.
Yeah. And then next one is actually a good thing. It sounds so technical, but it's like the download blob, remove download JS dependency. But what it actually does is kind of found that when you export the patterns, the former reusable block being sync patterns now, when you export them and use the JSON to upload them, it works. But if you do this with other patterns, the sync patterns, somehow it used a different JSON package, yeah, whatever, and it was malformed JSON, and now they kind of streamlined the same mechanism for both of the downloads and exports for the patterns. So that was kind of interesting experience that it was implemented in both, but then one implementation worked and the other didn't. And now we found out which one is the right one and streamlined it. Yeah, sometimes it is a clear path forward on certain bugs, and sometimes it's not. Yeah, but this was clear.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's good.
Speaking of patterns, now you can actually add embed blocks to your patterns, and they act render correctly on the front end, which was, and I think even in the block editor, that wasn't always a given that you could use a certain video in the patterns or a certain social post in the pattern. It would only display the link for that, but it didn't process the embed. So now it does, and that's a real good enhancements there.
Yeah, this brings it in line with templates. I guess patterns was one of the areas where the was probably one of, I guess, the last remaining area where embeds weren't being processed because there's already logic in place to process them in templates and widgets and things like that. So this made perfect sense.
And now, well, we are kind of there's a travel from all the different things to all patterns. Like template parts are patterns, reusable blocks are patterns, patterns are patterns. And people are working on the partially sync patterns, so it's all pattern is what makes WordPress tick now.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing in general. Well, I mean, we've had reusable blocks for ages, and patterns was sort of a new version, but they're very similar in so I suppose the ways that they're used in their use cases, I should say. And so it does make sense for them to be one thing, and you can choose whether they're synced, whether they're not, whether they're partially synced, I guess. So it's, yeah, good to provide a range of options. But I definitely appreciate the having the renaming of reusable blocks to patterns so that we all know that we're talking about the same thing.
And there were only the difference from just which content updates and which doesn't, so the next item, it's just a code quality or quality of what you see is what you get editor, that you can now see the post feature image block is now wrapped in a anchor tags is also in the editor, not only on the front end, but also in the editor. So you know it's actually working and functioning kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
The what you see is what you get editor is a
It's good.
promise, and sometimes it falls down.
It's good to have consistency. It's hard. It's a hard problem sometimes because the markup, the editor is an editor ultimately, and you have to have, content editables all over the place because the content has to be editable, obviously. And so there can't always be a one-to-one match between the markup in the editor and the front end, but the more divergent it becomes, the more chance there is for bugs to be introduced and for there not to be a visual match. So we're always sort of trying to make sure it works. It's a very fine line.
And it's very interesting. Sometimes you kind of encounter problems when you solve something on the front end, but then you get it into the editor and then it kind of doesn't work anymore. So one example was that the gaps between the blocks, you could actually switch off and just that all controlled through the interface. But what happened was now that the space between the blocks wasn't big enough, the inserter, the siblings inserter that are between, didn't have a place to show anymore. So
Oh,
that was
yeah.
kind of an interesting. I don't know if you have an issue for that, but it came up in one of the calls for testing, and it was really interesting to. That's when you get what you see is what you get, and it's not what you
It's
see.
actually,
It's kind
it's
of.
what you see is not what you want to get, I guess, because you still want to see, I don't want to have space between the blocks, but I do want the sibling inserter to appear because I do actually need to add something between these two blocks.
And sometimes you have these kind of competing interests that you
Yeah.
need to line up. Just a little tangent here.
So what do we
The
have?
next is a component for there's the image link button, press state on the media text block. Sometimes the headlines are a little bit obscure. So in the image block and in the media text block, when the image is linked, the link button in the block toolbar doesn't have a press state. So as such, there's no visual semantic accessible information for the image to actually be linked. And
Yeah.
that is fixed. Cool. that's an important accessibility issue fixed. And then and
Another
just
one.
going through and trying out all the things. I'm looking, adding a link to an image and seeing, oh yeah, I see. So now it actually becomes obvious that there's something in here. So now the button, it becomes a dark background, light colored text. I think this is the change. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, the next one is a similar one. It kind of helps you get your focus back when you're on the toolbar and use the escape key, and then you get back to the editor canvas and you don't have to kind of tap around the thing. Yeah, escape gets you out of the block toolbar. It's interesting. For those who are more keyboard users, that's definitely a good problem to solve. And that's the piece that goes with the double escape coming out of a button block into the canvas again. That's a similar one when your block toolbar doesn't get you. You have to use the mouse or something like that to get out of the toolbar, or tab
Yeah,
instead of
I
escape. Yeah.
think memory, I'm going to test this, but I think what happened before was if you were on the block toolbar and you pressed escape, you would be taken into navigation mode.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes.
But actually, no, I think now I'm actually testing this on a 6.4 vanilla no Gutenberg install. And what I'm doing, I'm in the block
You.
toolbar, I'm going around the buttons in the block toolbar, and now I press escape, and focus just seems to go somewhere. I'm not sure where it goes. It might actually, interesting. Okay, that was definitely a bug. Good job it's been fixed.
Yeah. So when you say vanilla 6.4, no plugin means that was
No plugin.
before this release came out.
Yeah, so I was comparing. So I've got
Yeah,
Gutenberg,
got it.
actually I've got Gutenberg trunk on my local development environment, and I have another install of just 6.4, and I just keep comparing it and see
Yeah.
what's changed.
What's changed, yeah. So this was the time for some of the basic accessibility things to be fixed and bugs to squash. Another one was, it actually sounds like a code quality performance, code quality PR, but it's under performance. And the list view block kind of has a lot of calls to the same hooks. And the code quality was to just combine those hooks, those calls to the you select, and that actually increased performance quite a bit on the list view. So, yay.
Yay for all performance improvements, and
Yes.
especially with the list view because it's becoming more and more important to navigating in the block editor.
Yeah. And it's definitely considerable when the tests were 4,000 block 1,000 blocks, and the call were four calls per block. So it was 4,000 calls to the same store. It was kind of
Yeah, oh
interesting. Yeah.
yeah,
So.
absolutely. Oh, yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah. So there were one documentation, two documentation issues that I wanted to point out from this release, and that was that there is a new block development quick start guide in the block editor handbook, and also one for how to create the block templates for the scaffolding tool. So if you're a block developer and or a budding block developer, yeah, check out the new quick start guide to on your journey from becoming confused to becoming a proficient block developer. And so that is in part of the revamp of the block editor handbook that has been published. And the second one is also there is a built-in local environment with Gutenberg. It's called WP-Env. And that is now also listed under additional resources for local environments.
Oh, nice. That's a good, I mean, it's a good development environment if you're okay with running Docker, which I guess Docker can be pretty resource intensive. So it depends on how powerful a machine you have, if you want to run it or not. But if you're okay with running Docker, then this is a really easy environment to get set up and running.
Yeah, and to test whatever you're developing on the current environment, you don't have to set up database and PHP and connectings to and the usual LAMP things or MAMP things. Yeah. So yeah, it's definitely a good resource, and people worked on it. So yeah, it's been around for a while, but never really mentioned in the documentation. So now it is. And that's, I think, is all we have from this release. And I guess you probably, dear listeners, agreeing with us, there was not a whole lot of big things in there. There was no big thing in there, but it was all good and enhancements and a performance enhancement, as well as user interface enhancements and certain great accessibility improvements as well. Which brings us to what's in active development or what's discussed. And this is just an announcement. Maybe we could have done it earlier, but that's what's new for developers. Roundup post is published on the developer blog. If you haven't signed up for that feed, it's a roundup post of what's new between the 10th of the month and the 9th of the month, and published on the 10th of the month. And Justin Tadlock and I were kind of compiling that from various sources, like being a GitHub, a Gutenberg release, what's in core, new into core, what's around on the learn for developers. So you can kind of go through. It has a huge table of content, but it also gives you an inkling on what's new, what you should pay attention to, and where things are going, and where you find the information to follow along. And it mentions the experimental pieces, the form and input blocks, and also the data view works with links, and then some major changes like that came with 6.4, but this is a repeat of some of the dev notes condensed, but just highlighting in case you missed it. And then moving away from the WordPress element in React, and yeah, all these kind of good technical things. I will share a link to it in the show notes. And for instance, it mentions the new tabs component that replaces the tab panel, or the new plugin post accept slot fill for plugin developers and the block editor and all that kind of good stuff. Is there anything that stands out that you want to talk about?
What from the
What's new for
developer?
a developer? Yeah, we separated into what's interesting for plugin developers and what's interesting for theme developers. Sometimes it kind of has an overlap and then it's a toss-up, but that is kind of where you can say, okay, I'm not interested in plugin stuff. I just want to see what's new in the theme stuff. And that's also kind of, yeah, pattern update.
I'm very interested in seeing where the data views work is going. I think there's a lot of potential for enabling. It's already viewable as an experiment in Gutenberg. So
Yeah,
that's
we're
a cool
gonna.
one. I'll be
Yeah.
keeping an eye
So,
on.
if you wanna, just as a developer, if you have still trouble, and it's, I think it's getting worse that it's hard to keep up with Gutenberg. That's why we create this monthly view instead of having just everything new every 3 4 months when there is a new release out. Yeah, so you can see things coming, and if they were interested and not, and kind of follow up on that. Yeah. So, yes, but speaking about experiments, when you enable the experiment page on in Gutenberg plugin, you see quite a few experiments, but let's talk about two of them. One is the data views, and that is what you see is the progress on the lists for content types. Yeah, like the templates or the pages. When you have list all pages, how can that look in the site editor as well as in the yeah in the sign in the temp for the template? So the pages in the site editor as well as the template lists show already these new data views when you enable that experiment, right?
See, from memory, I think it's the pages. Let me check. I'm just going through. I'm
Yeah,
not
it's the
sure that the
pages. There's a
templates has it yet. So if we go in the site editor and we get the little black bar on the left-hand side when you go into the site editor, there's a pages section, and then at the very bottom, you have manage all pages, which takes you to a list view of all of your pages. Now, if you have the new admin views enabled, that page, so that link in the site editor will actually take you to a new view, which is this data view, which is quite experimental. And the interesting thing, well, for me, because I love layouts and organizing things on pages, the interesting thing is that you can change the layout from a list to a grid, or you can even see a side-by-side view where you have your list of pages and then you can just click on a page and preview it in another window. So it works a bit more like a, like an operating system file browser, I guess, a bit more. It has sort of this expanded functionality where you can view things in different ways, which can be quite useful depending on what kind of operation you want to do. So yeah, I'm really appreciating the work that's been done on this.
Yeah, there's also quite a filter view that you can review. Can add a filter like you see all only those for a certain author, the pages, or just the status, yeah, just the scheduled one or the published ones. And in the views, there's also a sort by version, so you can sort it by title, by author, by date, yeah, and not only the layout. So also you can say, okay, I want, and these are all features that come that you know from your WP admin. But it's actually with a more modern interface and maybe even easier to handle for someone who is new to the system. Yeah, the grid view shows you the featured image with it if you want to. Yeah, and the side by side is really cool as well. Yeah, if you have the space on your screen. Yeah, so yeah, you see right away the layout of the page. Yeah, it's really cool. Check out the experiment. It's all experimental. So in anytime it can change, anytime it can go away, anytime it can break. So that's the experimental nature of this. But yeah, there has been in this release, there has been quite some work on these data views. So if you go through the changelog, everything that says data view at the beginning is about this and this admin section for the pages in the site editor.
But also, I want to add the thing about experiments is that they're being actively worked on and they are always looking for feedback. And so it's immensely helpful. And especially for folks who are invested in this and they want to see this sort of going in a certain direction, or they're like, oh, this is really helpful, or this is not good at all. That feedback is really useful at an early stage so that the developers know like what's working and what's not, and what might be causing issues for certain workflows, or what might be a welcome addition. So yeah, the feedback, and I think that's the, I guess the downside of the experiments in Gutenberg is that they're not always super visible, and because folks might not even think about going into the experiments section. There's like, what is this? And you can just click on things and randomly enable stuff. But it's always super useful to go in and check those experiments and give feedback on
Yeah.
them.
Yeah, I found in the there are two kinds of people, those who like to poke at new things and don't mind if they get lost or get confused or can recover quite nicely from it. And then there are people who need to be secure or safe in safe spaces, and they cannot, they just want to get their work done, and they are not interested in how the sausage is made, and they don't want to test things. Yeah, I said, well, I'm not your beta tester kind of thing. In open source, unfortunately, it's a little bit different, yeah, because we all work on it and we all use it. So feedback is really important. But as you said, Isabella, but I also know that experiments can be a scary place for certain people.
Oh, yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, absolutely. I mean, probably don't use it in production, but
No.
like play around with it on the test website.
Yeah, but you will see there is actually quite a few things there. Amongst them, we skipped over that in the release, but there's also forms block feature or set that you can test out. And I also wanted to talk about the grid layout. When you go to the experiments page, it tells you in the experiments there's also grid variation for group block. And when you enable that, what happens?
What happens? So
Yes.
when you enable that, what happens is that when you then go and into your post or template editor and you create a group block instead of getting the standard three variations that you have, which is the regular group, the row, and the stack. You get a fourth variation, which is the grid. And that variation is also available from the block inserter. So you can just type grid and it gives you the grid block. And the grid block is essentially, it's a variation of group. It's not a block in itself. But what it does is it allows you to set a grid layout on your group block. And it's only, and most of the reason why it's still in experimental, even though it's that's actually, I did that a while ago now, like more than 6 months ago. So it's been experimental for a couple of cycles. It's not in core yet. And the main reason is that it's only a very basic implementation of grid. So you have the ability to set the amount, not the amount of columns, but the column width. That's the default option that you get. That's the only option for now, where you can set a width, like that will be the minimum width of your columns. So if you squeeze it down onto a really small screen, the columns will not go under the width that you stipulate, but they can stretch if it's a wider screen. And the good thing about that is that this is pretty much the only version of grid where you can, with a couple of lines of code, create a block that is responsive. Because what happens is, if you get to a point where you don't have enough space on your screen for, say, you have four or five elements in your grid, and you no longer have the space on your screen to have those four or five elements side by side because each of them has a minimum width set, then the grid just reflows. And it just calculates how many columns will fit on the screen. That's like the easiest way. It's the sort of paradigm of like responsive without media queries. And that's the best way to achieve that kind of responsive without media queries layout. But having said that, there is a bunch of configuration that would probably be useful for folks creating actual layouts with this kind of grid. And I think one that jumps to mind immediately to me is the ability to set how many columns your item or your block is going to span, because you might want a block to span a couple of columns. You might not want all the columns in all the elements in your grid to have the same width to occupy the same amount of columns. You might even want some of them to stretch the full width of the grid. And so having that sort of configurability for children would be a really useful addition. The question Absolutely. Is how to implement that. What is the most useful way of implementing that that will sort of satisfy the most use cases? And that's where I think there's still a bit of design work to be done. And that's why that's still experimental, although it is. So the secret here is, it's not quite a secret, but so grid support technically already exists in core. The thing is, the UI is not exposed. So there's no grid group variation in core, but the grid layout already exists because it underlies the grid layout in the post template block. So that's already an implementation of CSS grid in post template. And so that means that if you really wanted to use a grid layout in core, you could go into your block attributes and set the layout type as grid, and that would just work. Because the code to support the layout type is there. What is not there yet is the UI and the group block variation.
Wow, that's really interesting. Yeah, I had no idea. Excellent. Are you going to write a blog post about it for the developer blog? I'm asking you publicly, but you can say,
is this something that I'm going to have to commit to? Yeah, no, I'll have to think about it. No, I actually have a fair amount of stuff on my plate right now. I'm not saying no, that would be great. I would like to write. I mean, I love CSS and talking about it and trying out new stuff with it. So that is definitely a possibility that I will consider.
Well, I also know that Justin Padlock is in the start blocks to kind of, for a while now, when you heard about grid layout, to write about it. But as it's still an experiment, it's kind of, we need to wait till it's out of experiments, and that might take a while. Another, what I can see is I just enabled it on my test site, and it's really cool. Yeah. I just added a few pictures in there, so it looks like a gallery, but it's not. Yeah. So it's really cool.
Yeah, it works. I think Gallery is actually a block where it would be really cool to have a grid implementation, especially if you could control the size of the child blocks. So that's something
Definitely.
that I am kind of looking forward to being able to work on at some point in the future. But there's a lot, and actually, if you go into Gutenberg and you search for the sort of issues where layout and especially grid is discussed, there's a lot of thinking around how it should work, and everyone has an opinion on it. And it's one of those things that, like, it has to be done right, and it has to be done in a way that will sort of satisfy the greatest amount of use cases while keeping the implementation fairly simple and sort of lean. So yeah, it's not going to be a very easy problem to solve, I think, but it will be a great one to solve. Like, it will be great to see the outcome of that once it's done.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it will also kind of answer some of the questions about responsiveness and, yeah, where are my viewpoints and all that. Yeah, so you actually wouldn't need them because the grid helps you with that. That's modern CSS to you, but it's also, what, 6 or 7 years old now?
Well, yeah, Grid's been actually it's been around. It's had decent browser support for a long time. The exciting thing now is Subgrid, which is it has also, I mean, in theory been around for a long time, but actual implementation in browsers didn't happen until last year-ish. And I think it's still not stable in all browsers. Let me just check. Can I use CSS Subgrid? Because I think that in Chrome, it's probably already in Canary, but I'm not sure it's in Chrome stable yet. Wait, what's the latest version of Chrome? Oh, it might actually be. Oh, yeah, released October 31st. Okay, so it's in the latest version of Chrome. Actually, it's looking pretty good. It was very, very recently implemented in Chrome stable. So
Awesome.
this means that we can start thinking about not only
Great.
grids, but subgrids, which,
Yay.
you know, what would be amazing is having your block, so your block uses grid, and you detect whether a parent block uses grid, and then you can enable that it nested grid as a subgrid of the parent. I'm thinking that that would be really cool.
It's really cool, yeah, and totally confusing for a user interface.
But everything would be beautifully aligned.
Yes, the alignment is that one that kind of confuses people. And yeah, I want it. Yeah. So yeah, and this is I think we're getting time-wise to the end of our show. It was has been a great pleasure to talking with Isabel, with you, Isabel, today, the Gutenberg change log. The bad news is this is the last change log of the year. The good news
Oh.
is we start one right in the first week of January with episode 94. So, but I have one question still. What are you currently working on? Because you worked on the grid log a while ago, but what are you working on right now?
Oh, right now. So I've got sort of my attention's been a bit scattered here and there with different things. I was
Welcome to
actually trying to
the
get some I've been trying to add in some controls to allow, I guess, website designers, and this is probably going to be an interesting feature for agencies and folks using Gutenberg at a more enterprise level, where for a long time folks have wanted to be able to disable certain design controls. And so I'm kind of adding a few settings to layout so that some of the controls in layouts can be disabled at sort of a site-wide or a block-wide level. But that's not very exciting. That's sort of, you know, not very exciting in terms of new feature. It's something that probably should have already existed in there. So I'm kind of just going, okay, let's add this in.
Yeah, but
The thing I'm
I know quite a
excited about,
few, yeah.
which I'm just sort of starting to dabble in. I'm starting to sort of play around with drag and drop because there are a lot of I think there's a lot of space for improvement in the current drag and drop. And this is not to say that it's bad, because it's a lot better than it was a couple of years ago. There's steadily been work and improvement in that area. but I think there's still a fair bit of stuff that can be done. And I'm particularly excited to try and combine the sort of drag and drop functionality with the ability to create layouts. So add elements, so sort of drag and drop elements so that they can be side by side and things like that. So I'm kind of playing around with some very experimental stuff and trying to figure out if it works.
Yeah, I have the vision that when I drag and drop something, it kind of actually pops to a grid. Yeah, and I know there are certain tools out there that actually do that, but it would be phenomenal if that would come to WordPress. Yeah, so I'm glad
Yeah.
you're working on things like that. Yeah, and I do know people who are gonna get excited about the disabled site-wide some layout stuff. So yeah, you do some great work there as well, and people are waiting for it as well. Yeah. So okay, dear listeners, now we have to say goodbye to this year, and wishing you not only happy Thanksgiving but also happy holidays for those who celebrate it. And before we end the show, as always, the show notes will be published on the gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. This is episode 93. And if you have questions, suggestions, or news for the next one in 2024, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. And Isabel, it's not the first time that you're on the show, but maybe we have a few new listeners. Where can you be reached when people want to reach out to you?
Oh, I am on GitHub as Tell the Machines. I am on WordPress Slack as Tell the Machines also.
Yeah, good.
I'm not very inventive. That's my username pretty much across all the sort of WordPress sphere. Feel free to ping me, ask me questions, and yeah, I'm around.
Well, thank you so much, and all the good wishes for the last month of the year. Also to you, to Australia. You have summer now. We are coming
Yeah.
into the winter, and it's my first winter in Munich. So I
Ooh.
might turn into a hibernation and go like Mama Bear always goes into hibernation when it's too cold. That sounds like me. So I sleep
Ooh,
longer, I
that
go earlier to bed. Yeah.
sounds like it's going to be chilly. Yeah, it's going to be warm. Well, Sydney's pretty warm, so I'm expecting
Excellent.
a fairly hot summer here.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wish you
Yeah.
all a good new year, and see you all in January, or hear you all
Happy
in January.
holidays for
Happy
everyone.
holidays. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.